Welcome to this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. I'm Trista Polo from iwokeupawesome.com, and I am your host. Each week, we learn the story behind that vanity plate. The one you saw driving down the road? What did it say? What did it mean? Why did they choose it? This week, we chat with Melanie Kramer and Rich Labuti, the musicians of Circe. Melanie and Rich call themselves middle-class musicians, but they have a solid following with over 190,000 subscribers on YouTube alone. They have built a loyal fan base that they consider to be their extended family. Their music can be heard on TV, movies, and even in schools. This episode was recorded before public events were canceled. As this episode comes out, you can catch Circe live on virtual events on YouTube and their website, circe.com, and engage with them on social media. When stages open up, Circe will be back on the road because it's where they love to be, with their fans sharing their music. This is an abridged version of our conversation, and you can get the full unabridged version on YouTube. Let's spend some quality time with this dynamic duo.
I'm so excited. We have some fairly well-known individuals on this week's podcast. It's the band Circe. They are perfect for this podcast because they have a plate with their band name. So welcome, you guys.
Thank you for having us, Trista.
Yes, I'm so excited. So I know that you have a very solid and large following, but probably not everybody knows about you guys. So tell us a little bit about your band, what kind of music you guys play.
Definitely not everybody knows about us. So yeah, this is wonderful. Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Circe is a duo that sounds like a full band. Our music is categorized as rock, pop, soul, and sass.
Nice.
Rich, I like, is mostly responsible for the sass.
Sounds pretty good. We're going to get in on that.
So we're a husband and wife duo, and I'm the lead singer, and I play the drums. I play a full drum kit standing up, so it's not like a... It's not like a little, just like percussion or like a small little novelty kit. It's an actual full drum kit standing up. And then Rich plays electric guitar. And then he's got the world's largest pedal board at his feet with all kinds of effects. And he plays some bass parts on a keyboard with his feet. And then I play the other half of the bass parts on like a sample pad set up on my drums.
Oh, that's very cool.
I sound like four people, but there's only two of us.
That's very cool. Yeah, because I noticed that your music has a very big sound. It doesn't sound like it's a duo.
Yes.
Now, tell me where the name came from.
The name is a nickname of mine. When I was a little girl, my little sister used to call me Circe instead of sister or sissy. Mm-hmm. And it was always my nickname growing up. I would always sign all of my cards, "Love Circe," to her. Only with her. It wasn't my nickname with everyone, just with her. And, you know, we were little kids, so we spelled it phonetically, S-I-R-S-Y. But it's funny. It's got a whole bunch of different meanings for people that we didn't know about until we ended up calling the band that. You know, it's a big world and it's a small world. You know, with the internet, people can find you from all over the world. And we've we've had some folks from Jamaica who thought we would be a reggae band because there's a type of tea called Circe. I don't remember how it was spelled. Do you? Spelled differently.
It's spelled a little bit differently. I think it's S-I-R-S-E-Y.
And it's something that their grandmas would give them when they were sick. And so that was Circe for them. And then there's...
it's a surname in certain Arab countries.
Wow.
Few random just notes from people that say
named like Mohammed El Circe, and they're like, "Why do you have my last name as your band name?" You know, finding us on Facebook. And then, of course, the more well known is the Circe from Game of Thrones, and that's spelled differently. And the two of us are like the only two people on the planet who have not seen Game of Thrones yet. It's on our list. You too? Okay. She murders everyone, Circe. So we don't murder anyone at the shows. You are safe.
Yay. Yeah, my first name is very unusual until there was a bachelorette with my name. So, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, like the bachelorette. And I'm like, no, I'm a little older.
Right. Than she is. So it's just funny that it has all these other meanings It was just an innocent childhood.
Now, your plate is not the only thing with a name. The van it's on has a name, I understand, as well. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is actually our fourth van. And I don't know. I think on the third van and the fourth van, we did contests with our fans to name the van.
Yeah, I think we named the first two. Yeah.
So this, the latest incarnation, we got several good, suggestions, but we ended up having, I think everyone voted and they picked Axel Rhodes.
Oh, cool.
A little bit of a play on that name there. It's been actually kind of a curse because this particular van has axle seal issues in the rear.
Oh, no.
Guess what its name. Yes. It's a problem child. So, yeah.
We might need to have a name-changing ceremony.
We may. Yes. We may.
Like the last name, the last 5 million miles or right. Something like that.
The last van was named Miles, and it went very many, many miles. And so it was good. It was named after, Miles Davis, mm-hmm. and Miles on the Road. And so Axel Rhodes is proving true to his name. Yes. As a problematic rock star. Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll get into recovery soon.
Yeah. I mean, I'm knocking on wood right now, Trista. He's running fine right now. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Now, we talked a little about what type of music that you guys play, but you mostly do originals at your performances.
Yes.
When I went onto your website, because I'll tell you, I'm one of the people that didn't know about you until I heard about you from my friend Holly,
yes.
who's a huge fan and goes to all your local shows.
Amazing seamstress. Made many wonderful things for me to wear on stage.
Can we give her a shout out? So perfect.
Holly,
go to her website, hire her for everything you need, travel if necessary. Yeah, she's amazing. But so I learned about you guys from her, and I went on your website. I will tell you, I was blown away by the number of performances that are listed on your event. Yeah. Like, I mean, we have to talk about that. But so clearly you guys do a lot of live performances. And from what I get, your group of fans is very involved in your band. Like you have them name your van. I saw one of your videos. The entire video is their cell phone footage.
Yeah.
So you guys really, I'd love to hear about what can people expect at a performance and what is it like being a fan of Cersei?
Yeah. I mean, we are definitely not what they call a shoegaze band. Those bands that look at their shoes and don't like show emotion on stage.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That is definitely not our vibe. We are definitely, we give 110% on stage and we're, pretty much everything but the jazz hands. Sometimes even jazz hands. We give it all on stage and our fans are part of the show. Yeah. I mean, for sure. So we wouldn't have all of those shows listed on our website if they didn't come out to see us. Clubs generally don't continue to have you back if no one shows up to see you. So we owe everything that we have to our fans and the people that come out and support us. We really do. They also support all of our tours. They sponsor Miles on our tour. They have sponsored every record we've ever released. Yeah. They are a part of the band.
And they've helped with the videos. Like there was our Cannonball video, which is what you're speaking of, where we had people send me their cell phone footage. And then we together. It was pretty cool. I ended up with like 60 different. It was like we had a 60 camera shoot.
Which we could never afford.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That was amazing. When I realized that and I thought, oh my gosh, the angles that you're going to have and you had so many cool cuts and views of you guys performing. I'm like, that's so genius.
Yep.
But to have that idea, it occurred to me that you must be pretty dialed in with your fans for it to even occur to you to make that request and them to be willing to answer. There's another video you have where everybody sent you footage wearing their shades.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There were so many people that were different in that video.
From all over the country. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun to do that. I mean, the interaction that we have with our fans is a big part of the enjoyment of being in a band,
For us, not just for them, but for us.
That they like the music and we enjoy, they enhance everything that we do. So it's fun to bring them on board for so many of those things. It's really cool for us.
Yeah, I mean, all of our shows are, like, sincerely, I know we sound super corny, but it's a big love fest when we go up on stage. I mean, the two of us love each other. We love playing music. We love playing it for these people that we love. It's a big, huge love fest. So
yes, I love it.
Should expect to leave smiling, we hope. From
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to rock out, but we're also going to leave you smiling. So
yeah, absolutely. I can really get that from you guys and the vibe that you give out. Can you just hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
Russell, can you stop doing the dishes? I mean, what a good husband.
The first time that's ever been uttered.
I know, exactly. So one of the things I wanted to check, your music is very personal, it seems like. And one of my favorite songs that I've listened to of yours is Like a Drum. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's some story behind that. Can you share what the inspiration of that song was?
Yeah, absolutely. So Like a Drum is the title track of our latest record. And it's a song that it means a lot to us. I mean, it's a rockin', high energy, fun song.
Yeah, I really like
it. When you learn what the song is about, it has some different layers there that you don't really hear just from listening to it. It's a song that Rich and I wrote after I was diagnosed with cancer for a second time. The first time I was diagnosed with cancer, we wrote a song called Brave and Kind, which is a more of an emotional ballad. That's where we were at that time. And it's still a really hopeful, positive song, but it's more of an emotional ballad. And, you know, you can kind of, when you hear it, you can kind of get that it was about something like that. But Like a Drum is more of a celebration, like, you know, living life out loud with joy. That's kind of sums that song up.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are, beat my troubles like a drum. I will beat this like a drum. That was inspired by some of the wonderful letters we got from our fans. We had to cancel a 4-month tour after my second diagnosis. So we had to make it public to the fans. They helped pay our bills because we had 4 months, maybe five, of no income. It was four, right? Of no income. And they helped pay our bills that we had during that time. It was a rough time, I mean, for many reasons, but also financially. Sure. Yeah. And they sent us really supportive notes and helped keep us going. And, you know, like you were saying, that fan involvement, it was even there in our darkest hour.
Wow.
They were there for us. And, you know, when we finally started getting back to music again, we wanted to celebrate the fact that we were getting back to doing that thing that we love. You know, everybody has that thing that makes them tick, that helps them through the hard times. And, you know, that's the thing for us, is playing music. And so that's the Beat My Troubles Like a Drum. That's that little double meaning there. And we get the crowd to sing along with us. And it's a really good time. Good time. Everyone's dancing and clapping and singing kind of song.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
It's real life. Everyone knows someone that's had some sort of cancer. Everyone's had, you know, cancer affect their lives in some way. So it kind of, I don't know, kind of takes the power back and away from it a little bit.
It changes your life when you go through it. It definitely is a life-changing situation. And for us, we feel like, you know, we're a message of hope, because I got to survive it twice. So that's the message we're passing on, is that you can survive it, that's an option, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're lucky, like we were. So
Yeah, absolutely. And like you're saying, it really is so common these days.
Yeah.
I think having your audience be part of that dialogue and being able to have it affect them in whatever way it affected their life, I think that makes a difference.
It's really powerful. I mean, we have people come up to us after the show and share their stories with us and tell us how, you know, it's inspired them and, you know, or made them think of someone that they care about. And it's really powerful.
It's nice to see women respond to, you know, specifically for Melanie with the breast cancer, to know that, especially women that are going through it, they know that they can get past it and then, you know, be strong and
still
on stage
do their thing.
And doing their thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really commend you for staying positive, staying strong. And of course, the fact that you've beat it twice is awesome. Like, you know, Supergirl, and you get to keep sharing your music and making a difference for people through your music.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now you mentioned Cannonball before.
Yeah.
And I know that song has some pretty cool notoriety.
It does. That was that song was played in a TV show called Shameless.
Shameless.
We've had many songs played in film and TV, but that is definitely the biggest named thing that, you know, we like to joke and say that's the one thing that people have actually seen that our songs. So that was really cool when that happened. It's in season 6 of Shameless. So.
And how did that come about? Like, I always wonder when you hear these more independent bands get onto these big, huge screens. Connect the dots for me. How did that all come about?
Well, for us, everyone's path is a little bit different. For us, there's a few different resources online. There's a website called Reverb Nation that offers opportunities for indie bands to hook up with licensing companies or even direct contact with music supervisors for, television and commercials and such. We actually met the guy who ended up selecting us. He said he listened to, I think, 1,500 bands. And he picked two that he wanted to add to the roster. So
we were
one of them.
Yeah.
And pretty quick after he picked us up, he deals directly with all the TV shows and the music supervisors. He got us a few placements of Cannonball right away. And then Shameless came pretty quickly after that. Like Melanie said, it was cool because it was something that people had heard of. I mean, the Cannonball was also used in a Daytona 500 winner, like a promo piece they did on GoPro.com.
Oh, okay.
A few different things
really
like
famous.
That. Joey Logano.
Joey Logano.
I don't know anything about NASCAR, but
he's
apparently
really
he won the Daytona
500. Yeah.
He also had several shows, several songs used in the Polish television show La Kerze.
I mean, you made it now.
It's like the Grey's Anatomy of Poland.
Wow, that's awesome.
No one has ever seen that show, and American television pays way better than Polish television.
I bet it does. Because our advertisers pay probably better than Polish advertisers, right? Yeah.
But we did look it up, and we were able, through the magic of the interwebs, we were able to find the shows and see some of the clips, and it's just... The production quality is good. It looks exactly like Grey's Anatomy or, Chicago Hope or whatever, it looks like a hospital drama. It's just that they're speaking some sort of Slavic language.
So clearly they use the songs for my lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean, of course.
Of course. It was pretty cool to see the episode of Shameless and hear our song.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's got to be very special.
It was
pretty
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's only the beginning. I mean, if you've only been on like a Polish TV show, a couple independent movies, and Shameless, you've got a lot more coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope you're right, Trista.
Good vibes. Sending you lots of good vibes.
It came right at the time when our roof was leaking, so it was good timing. It helped pay for half the roof.
See, now that's a real, like, inside the life of a musician.
It is,
quote right there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Now, you have another song that's used a lot, not in TV, but actually in schools.
Yes.
And so I'd love for you to share a little about that.
Yeah, so that's a song of ours called Stand. And in the lyrics to that one, it's not really a ballad, I guess. It's kind of an upbeat, more of an upbeat ballad. But it's a thoughtful song that we started writing about a friend of ours, whose daughter was being bullied in school. And, Rich and I have both had our share of bullying in school. I think maybe me more than you.
Perhaps.
Yes, because we've talked about it since then. And so we kind of knew what that felt like. And so it was an important topic for me. And I know that now there's like cyberbullying, which wasn't a thing when we were kids. And it's complicated to be a kid these days.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of the inspiration behind writing the song. And it's a song about standing up for somebody when they can't stand up for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, the lyrics are, I will stand up for you until you can stand up too. And a teacher in Central New York Mrs. Jessica Harrington. Shout out. Born in Corona Elementary School. She teaches fifth grade. Nice. So she was at a show and heard me tell the story on stage and was inspired when she heard the lyrics. She thought it really spoke to her and about some of the topics that her students have told her about in school. So she started incorporating that song into her curriculum in school. And she sends us these little essays that the kids write about who they would stand up for and who has stood up for them and things like that. And it's pretty amazing. And she's actually incorporated the song into her curriculum about, you know, the anti-bullying curriculum and trying to teach the kids the right thing to do in those situations. Yeah. And so I was so inspired by that I started sharing that part of the story on stage.
Yeah.
And now we have some teachers and guidance counselors from all over the country who've told us that they've started playing this song for the kids.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so.
Just underlines your fan involvement.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah. I don't even want to call them fans. I want to call them your community.
Yeah, we call them our extended family.
Okay, great. Sure. Perfect.
Yeah.
I feel like fan is too trite.
Yeah.
For this community that you've built and are continuing to build.
Yeah.
We talked here about the fan base of Cersei and how it's really more of an extended family.
Yeah.
I mean, we very much appreciate people coming to see us, spending their, you know, their, not everyone has a lot of free time. Yeah. They're coming to one of our shows or
they're spending money and time and they're giving us a part of themselves, you know, by coming to that show and letting us be a part of their life. We've been told that our songs have been in people's weddings and, you know, we've had people name their pets after us.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, we're a part of their lives and that's a huge honor.
Yeah.
We have like 10 or 12 people that have tattooed Cersei things on their body.
And there are other
commitment.
And Trista, there are other Cersei license plates out there. I mean, we have
that's what I was gonna ask you.
Like original Cersei plate spelled Sirsy, like the band, but there is a Cersei Rocks. ROX.
Yeah.
Oh.
A Cersei One.
It's a Cersei in Massachusetts.
Yep. Yeah. There's a Cersei where the I is a one. We've got several Cersei license plates out there as well.
That's very cool.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh. Yeah. We should tell you that all the other Cersei plates are not like our mom or anything. People who we aren't biologically related to.
I assumed it wasn't your mom.
My mom does drive a car that has a Cersei bumper sticker on every square inch of the car, pretty much.
Okay.
She's got stickers.
Your biggest fan.
Yes.
She is. Yeah.
Every so often, too, we get someone will post on our Facebook page or send us an email a photo of one of the other Cersei license plates. Yeah. Do you know this person? Or they'll send us pictures of Cersei stickers and cars in other states. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Now I have to go somewhere with you guys. So I'm looking at your schedule, your performance schedule.
Yeah.
And then I find out that you're married.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't appear with your schedule, like one, you're ever apart and two, you're ever going to have time to celebrate, you know, I don't know, anniversaries, birthdays.
Yeah.
Like, how do you guys manage? Let's give some like relationship advice here because you seem very connected. You perform together. Do you write together as well?
Yeah.
You write together.
Yeah.
You're doing the video, it sounds like. Like, what, how do you manage that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as challenging as it sounds like it should be.
Right.
At the end of the day, he's still my best friend, and I really would rather do things with him than not with him.
Mm.
Everything's more fun when I'm doing it with him.
I mean, I'll agree. I'm pretty awesome.
But I mean, for example, today we had a quote-unquote day off. The two of us have been working all day. I mean, we've spent the last, from, I don't know, 10 a.m. until, you know, now, doing other Cersei things, like behind the scenes things, catching up on email and stuff. And we haven't really spoken that much today.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we're just in the computer side by side.
And we're in the same space, but we're not really, we've both been doing independent Because right. I do more of the booking the shows and the updating of the website sort of thing. And he's off, you know, inventorying the merch, and he was just ordering some new merch from stuff that we had just sold. And
yeah,
you know, so we do things in the band that are independent. So I guess we have space in that way. I like to read. He doesn't really like to read books.
So. My reading days are behind me.
So, like, you know, we don't do that together. So we have some things that are separate.
But, yeah. We make it work. I mean, we have our moments because we are, you know,
human.
Married.
You are human, right?
Yes. And
and you're married, so there's got to be some bumps that come up. You don't need to share them, but
yeah. But I mean, like, you know, all in all, I mean, like she said, it works out. I mean, it doesn't ever seem difficult. It's never like we talk to some people and like I can't imagine working and living with you know your spouse. But I don't know. We seem to make it work. I think it's more of a strength for us than it is a weakness. Mm-hmm. And because we are doing all our work stuff together, like when we did a 6-week run down to Florida and back, and one of our days off was in Charleston, and Charleston is where we got engaged, and we had a day off there. And so, like, you know, we don't necessarily celebrate our birthdays and anniversaries and things like that on the actual day, but we definitely have days off where, you know, we call it couple time instead of work time, where, you know, we go out on dates and all that. But
our wedding anniversary this year, we're celebrating in Utica, New York, playing a live show at a brewery.
Nice. Now I want to dig in a little bit. So were you performing together first or were you dating first?
We were performing together first.
We met in a disco cover band.
True story. His last name is Libuti, and it's spelled Libutti. I did, just as a side note, keep my own last name.
Libuti. Perfect for a disco band, actually.
Yes. Well, they named it wasn't our idea. It was the drummer. I was not the drummer in the disco band. The drummer at the time decided we should name the disco band Libuti. Labootti.
Sure.
Dark days as a woman, front woman, front person in that band.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you
Try growing up with it.
Yeah. So we did that for a little while, and we branched off from there and formed Circe and started writing songs. And, you know, but during that time, we got to know each other and we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rich confessed his undying love for me. And we went out on a date, and it was a very fancy
magical
restaurant because there was a big salad bar in the middle. So it was nice. Very fancy.
Very fancy.
Yes. We were young kids at the time. So we went to that, what was the name of it? It's not even open anymore.
I think it was called the Carousel.
The Carousel. And it had like
Colony,
a big,
New York.
It had a big, like a carousel horse in the middle with a salad bar.
But it had like a bread bar. Is the thing I remember.
Well, I was a vegetarian, and he didn't know where to take me, and he was like, this has salad.
This has bread.
It's salad. So we went there, and then afterwards, he said something very magical. He said, I want to take you someplace very special, and he took me to the Ben & Jerry's ice cream shop on Lark Street in Albany, and he said, Trista, he said, I am the manager of this establishment. You can have all the ice cream you want for free.
I hope my old boss doesn't ever hear this.
Right? So, yeah.
I paid for it. That's what I'm saying. Okay, Ben? Okay, Jerry?
So we, then we went on many more dates and, you know, later on got married. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And I was going to ask you how hard he had to chase you, but when I heard the Ben & Jerry's piece.
Not hard
like,
after
oh,
that.
Not hard at all.
No.
Not hard at all.
Not hard at all after that.
Now, are you guys each professionally trained? Did you go to school for music?
No. You don't want to pass. No.
We were, I was pre-law and Rich was pre-med, and we didn't continue on those paths at all. I actually sat for my LSATs and in the middle of the test decided I really didn't want to do that. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I walked out of the test. So,
like right in the middle of the test.
In the middle of the test. Wow. I had like an epiphany and I said, what am I doing? I'm doing this because everyone expects me to do this because I was a good student. And, you know, they all convinced me that this is what good students do. They go on to lofty careers like law and things that I just really didn't want to do. And I just like had that epiphany in the middle of the test. And I said, I just don't want to do this. And I just left. So.
Wow. You did the opposite of what most people do. Most people are in a band and then they go off to a quote, real career as a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
And you're like, lawyer, I want to be a musician. And you followed your heart.
I never wanted to be a music teacher. I think music teachers are wonderful people, but I'm not that person. I'm not cut out to be a music teacher. And I never really wanted to be famous. And so I didn't realize that you could have a career as a musician where you could make a living playing your music without either being super famous or a music teacher. Mm. I didn't know that that was a career option. And it is.
Area.
Yeah, we like to call ourselves like middle class musicians, you know? We didn't really know that that was a career path that you could take. So, you know, some schools actually ask us to talk to the kids about that because some kids feel like that's something they might want to do, but they don't really get exposed to that option at all.
Yeah.
Unless you're classical, as you said.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. My family, I have a lot of musicians. They're all classical musicians like saxophone, French horn, viola, flute, but they're all in symphonies and some of them are teachers.
Yeah. Right.
But you're right. If you're not taking the path of the symphony,
right.
You know,
there's no clear path, right. There's no clear path of what to take. And I mean, you can be in a symphony and not be a famous musician, but you're still making. So it's the same kind of thing.
I think if you're in a symphony, you are not famous. I mean, we can all name Yo-Yo Ma, but that's it.
That's what I'm saying, though. But there are options for musicians in other types of music where you can do that sort of thing, where you can be a musician and play for a living and, you know.
Yeah.
And I was classically trained on the flute, and I was classically trained in voice as well. But I
Me too, both.
Don't play the flute or sing in a classical fashion.
I mean, you could. Lizzo does it.
Yes, Lizzo's awesome.
Yes. Love
I was so excited when I saw her play the flute.
I know. She sort of brings coolness to classical instruments.
Does.
So do you have any, is it too late if you're already an adult? How would you say break into the middle class musician if your heart?
You're never too old to rock. Never too old to rock.
I mean, you have to write a song called that. That needs to be a song.
I mean, I would say that, you know, you have to go into it because you love it, not because you want to be famous. You have to just do it because you love it. And then you also have to surround yourself with people that are positive. There's a lot of, not that all musicians are druggies or have bad attitudes, but there is an element of that, like in any walk of life. And, you know, and it's kind of like entering in a relationship. If you enter in a relationship with somebody that's, you know, that doesn't love themselves, then it's kind of hard to forge a relationship with them and move forward in a positive way. And I think I see a lot of bands that are good or people in bands that are good that just get bogged down by those relationships not working. Yeah.
Well, we did for a little bit as well.
You know, you have to, it's very, very difficult, but you need to find, you know, your people, you know, it's like when you're trying to find a spouse, you need to find, you know, for us, it's perfect. Cause it was the same. Most people are not going to
not lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about their band and he was really frustrated because, you know, the bass player in their band, you know, doesn't want to give the gig as much. So they were trying to do some stuff without him. And he was like, you know, what can I do? What can I do to make it work? And Mel is, well, you just need to marry your bass player. He's like, no, I don't want to do that.
I don't love him like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say all those things too. I would say make sure you're doing music for the right reasons and then you're always going to be successful. I mean, for us, we both, well, I can't speak for you. I think maybe I can, but I don't want to necessarily speak for you. For me, the reasons I play music are because I want to have that connection with someone else. And, you know, I have folks come up to me after every single show and tell me how music that we've created has helped them in their life in some way. And for me, that's everything. So as long as that continues happening, I feel like I'm successful in this career, you know? So as long as you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, I think that then you're going to be able to keep doing it and not, I mean, this business can break you in half if you let it, if you're in it for the wrong reasons.
I mean, for me, you
just have to be true to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of know, like, you know, we end up sometimes in situations where, you know, it's not the most professional for one reason or another. And we kind of, you can kind of feel that almost immediately. And then we just, you know, avoid going back into that situation again.
In any career, there are politics involved, you know.
True.
You have to, you know, we just try to be kind to everyone and we try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt.
You have to be able to rise above the norms and the pressures of everything around you. I'm wondering if what you said, you were both sort of bullied or you dealt with some of that as a kid. Do you think going through that made it easier to stay true to yourself these days?
Yeah, maybe.
I think so. Coming out on the other side of bullying definitely makes you stronger.
Yeah.
You know, and when you are in any, you create any sort of art, whether it be you're an actor, musician, or photographer, especially these days when you put yourself out there on social media, there's a lot of haters.
If you're someone out there who is truly creating art and you're affecting other people and you're doing it in a true way, then you're making something beautiful. Mm. And those, not everyone's going to like it. Not everyone's going to get it. And that's okay.
It's hard though. Like, you know, we put like a YouTube video up and, you know, we'll have like 20,000 views and there'll be like 400 thumbs up. And then there's one thumbs down.
And you obsessed like, over it.
Why
right?
is there a
what,
thumbs
what
down?
Did they like? What did they like? Give it a thumbs down. What don't they like? What's the thumbs down for? Yeah. But you have to just let it go.
I know.
Have to let it go.
Nothing hurts more than that.
Right.
Nothing hurts more than that. I know. Oh, I wanted to ask you if you have 7 albums out?
We have 7 studio albums. And then we had like a couple of, we released a single called Goner with some live outtakes.
We have a Christmas album.
We have a Christmas album.
Oh, all right.
And several live
several
CDs.
Live CDs over the years. We're currently only selling one of those.
But yes, 7 core studio albums.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
What's your favorite?
It's always the newest one.
No, I mean, that's a tough one.
It's always the newest. Because, you know, you don't like to think that your best stuff is behind you. For me, it's always the newest one.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Certain songs that I like to play more that aren't necessarily the new ones, but.
I can't choose between two. For me, my two favorite records are Coming Into Frame and Like a Drum. Like a Drum is the latest, but Coming Into Frame didn't come out right before that, but the one before that. And it's got some of my all-time favorite songs on that album. So it's hard for me to not pick that. But then there's a song of ours that we wrote called Still that's off an old album, which is one of my all-time favorite songs we've ever written.
I don't know if it's not really my favorite record, but it's one of the most meaningful for me is our Revolution CD. Because we were kind of at that point where we were kind of trying to play the game of, we were like, courting a few labels and we were maybe like trying to just like maybe tweak our sound in a certain direction. And this is before we did the Revolution CD, like in the CDs we did before that, we were second guessing ourselves a lot. And we were like, oh, we should do this, we should do that. And you know, we had a few bites from some labels and we were, you know, kind of talking about that a lot. And then when we started writing the songs from Revolution, we were like, you know what, just screw all that, who cares? Yeah. And we tried to write a group of songs that we really liked and we wanted to play live.
And they didn't necessarily all go together.
They didn't go together.
All the same style.
There was no
continuity. They weren't trying to commercialize it.
Yes, right. There was nothing. And it was kind of, it was ironic because, you know, and we did it totally independent. Our fans helped us do it. And we worked with a producer in Ithaca, New York. His name is Alex Perialis. And, you know, he helped us mix it. And then, you know, we started to get some actual juice from that record. And then we got signed to a label on the West Coast based on that record. It's kind of funny because when we stopped just overthinking it, you know, it kind of worked out. We left that label, and then
we emancipated ourselves,
which is we could do 7 or 8 more blogs on that.
Yeah,
but seriously. But you know, at the end of the day, it worked out great for us, and the connections that we made, we still have access to from that experience.
We met actually Paul Coldery and Sean Slade from that experience, and they produced the record Coming Into Frame.
And Like a Drum,
which are, in my opinion, our two best sounding records.
Oh, absolutely,
records.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we did get some good connections from, you know, being signed and...
I mean, I think you can find good in any situation, even if it's not the perfect situation for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. Yeah. And then, are you currently working on anything new? Do you have anything that you're...
I mean, we have a bunch of songs that we do a thing where, like, if I'm noodling at a show, and Melanie goes, oh, I like that. And then she takes out her phone and we record it.
Call them zygotes.
Yeah, she'll sing a little something over it. So we, you know, we collect these things along the way. And then every so often, you know, when we have a free minute, you know, we kind of tweak them out. Sometimes we combine ideas. A lot of times, though, we like to just throw a bunch of crap down and then forget about it. And then when you go back and listen to it, you listen to it more with fresh ears. Because sometimes, you know, you love it right away and then you go back later, you're like, eh. Or there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, we threw down and I didn't necessarily like, or Melanie didn't like, but then we go back that we liked it. I mean, originally the song Cannonball, I think Melanie was, I don't know, you were at dinner with your parents or something, and I kind of just threw down 5 or 6 song ideas, and I was really excited about a few of them, and I played them all for her, and she was like, eh. And I said, well, I have this other thing, and it was, it was the riff of Cannonball. I was like, I don't know if I really liked it. She was like, I love that.
Oh, nice.
Let's do that. Let's work on that. I like that.
For me, it was a total throwaway thing. I wasn't interested in it at all, but that, you know, she heard something in it, so.
Apparently other people did too.
Apparently other people did too.
Shameless.
Yeah.
Plug. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, Shameless played it because of that riff.
Yeah.
It's a good riff.
Oh, is that right?
You wrote a good riff.
I am curious about your ability to stay healthy. Like, you guys seem healthy, fit, etc. Obviously playing music is probably a workout, but what do you do to stay healthy on the road? Like, cause I'm imagining on the road, you're eating in restaurants and, you know, fast food. How do you stay healthy?
Well, we do try to get regular exercise. And the fun thing about our lives is that when we tour, we're in all these strange places and new places for us. So we get to go, we usually go for very long walks in the morning.
Try to walk like 3 or 4 miles a day.
And it's cool because it's generally in a different city or a different area. And then we just try to eat healthy, which is hard in a hotel room, but we've tweaked out our bathroom sink salad, as we call it.
Oh,
so, you know, and it's also,
it's not as
you know,
gross as it sounds.
We're on a budget, so.
Wait, like, hold on.
Yeah, we got a bath. You can't just drop a bomb like that.
Drop bathroom sink salad and then walk past it. Just hang out there for a second.
A lot of hotel rooms just have sinks in the bathroom. So we travel with a little strainer and a little cutting board and, a little, like, camping knife.
We have a camping fridge that you can plug into the power port in your car.
Okay.
So go to the supermarket and we'll buy veggies and we'll buy hummus and we'll buy fruits and things like that. And I'm a vegetarian, so we'll buy tofu and things like that, and beans and things to put on. Canned beans are very easy to travel with. And
yes.
So then we'll make a salad, but we'll make a salad in the bathroom, and people are typically disgusted by the thought of us making a salad in the bathroom sink at a hotel. But we're not like filling the sink with water and like pour it, you know, we're not like washing the lettuce in the toilet or anything, but we're
right.
But we like to call them our bathroom sink salad.
We should make about making like a just a few cooking videos of us cooking in hotel bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You must do that.
Yeah. So we typically do that. And now we've started traveling with an Instapot also. So
makes
we can
us
make
a little crazier. Yeah.
Well, but we can make quinoa and we make homemade seitan sometimes and we make brown rice and things like that. So we try just, I mean, that's not to say that we don't still eat candy bars from gas stations. Cause we,
I mean,
we try.
Who doesn't?
Right. We try to do, like, I was just drinking a diet A&W, like, you know, I try to drink water, but every once in a while we cave and have something bad. So.
Yeah. So I'm kind of wrapping up here. I know that we'll be able to see every place you're going to be performing live on your website.
Yes.
We can watch videos of your official music videos. And we can access your music from wherever we stream and purchase it as well, right?
Yes.
From you. That's great. Yeah, I was able to really get to know your music and a little bit about who you are as musicians through the eyes of your community and your extended family through what you share on your website. So there's great stuff there for your current, new, and future fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So I always like to turn the tables because I've been bombarding you with questions. Do you guys have a question you'd like to ask me?
I do. What is the name of your cat?
My cat? Oh, geez. Did you see the cat?
I did.
He usually ends up right here, but I was trying to keep him from doing that. His name is Boris.
Boris, very nice.
And what's very interesting about Boris is he named himself. So I have to tell you the story since you asked his name.
Okay.
So he was one of those like born under a, you know, deck kind of cats from some feral cat, and he was caught and he was adopted by us. So I'm just cooking whatever dinner, etc., and I'm like just saying names out loud, brainstorming with myself. I love to brainstorm. And he's a black and white. He's a tuxedo cat. And so I thought in that instant of Boris and Natasha.
Yeah.
How they were black and white in this color comic cartoon. So Boris just came out of my mouth and he goes, "What?" And he turned around and looked at me. I'm like, "No, come on. That's not your name. Is your name Boris?" And he looked over at me again. I'm like, "Really? Boris? Your name is Boris?" And he just kept, every time I said his name, he turned around.
That's cute.
I now have a cat, first of all, that named himself, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
And he comes when he's called. And if you say his name, he looks at you like, "What do you want from me?"
Like any good
cat.
So
that's a great question.
I saw Boris sneak in there earlier.
He did. I know. I was trying to keep him out of the game. But
we both are cat lovers.
You are?
Yes. Well, I have cat allergies now. I grew up with cats, though. And like my body changed and I'm allergic to them now. But we would have...
It's a good thing that
so many
allergic.
Pet cats. Yeah, if I wasn't allergic,
cats.
We would be covered
keep
in
them
cats.
At bay. I just really appreciate you guys so much being on the podcast and finding a slice of time in your very busy schedules as professional musicians. And I just am so grateful to learn more about you and get to know you beyond your music.
Thank you, Trista. Thank
you.
And thank you for taking the time to learn about us. I mean, you like did your legwork before any questions were not just the stupid run-of-the-mill questions. I mean, they were really thoughtful. So thank you for your time and your consideration and thoughtfulness. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. It has been it's been a gift. Yeah. Thank you guys. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Trista's Plate Story Podcast. Visit Cersei.com to access their music and upcoming performances. Please subscribe to Trista's Plate Story Podcast to get the story behind all those vanity plates you see driving with you on the road. And if you would like to nominate the owner of a license plate, including you, or visit any of our partners and sponsors, come see us at PlateStory.com. That's PL8Story.com and give us the details. If you enjoyed this episode, please drop a review and give us a share. I'm Trista Polo, wishing you well on the road to your next adventure.